So I won $1,000. I got on like a call with a YouTuber as well.
That's so cool.
It was Skeppy.
Yeah.
During yellow, everyone's wristband went yellow, but my wristband was kind of broken, so it turned green.
Hi, I'm Erin Velak, and I've made it my mission to interview the members of the University of Nottingham's student radio station, URN. Join me to uncover how our members got into student radio, what they're listening to in their free time, and their most iconic pieces of clothing that might make you recognise them as you're walking around campus. I want to know who they are when the mics aren't live, so let's find out. This is Off Air with URN. Hello everybody, I am here today with Alex. Let's start with your journey into student radio, because you're in second year now.
Yeah.
I know everyone. I'm so good at this. But what made you join URN? Was media something you'd done at school, or was it something you were interested in beforehand, or did you just fall into it?
I feel like media is something I've always like been interested in. I quite like going to like big events. That's something I've been able to do like a lot more since I've been at uni, because able to like work like a part-time job, so I'm able to like manage my own finances and go to things that I wanted to go to. Which wasn't like as possible before, but I've kind of always been interested in media. I've like done like video editing before, like making like YouTube videos. I will not like
do you have a secret YouTube channel?
I'll not plug my channel.
Is it a secret channel? Is it like when you made when you were 14 that you don't want anyone to find? Or?
Yeah and some videos I don't want to be like associated with myself anymore. But
fair enough.
But now I managed to get like 20, 30 subscribers. So.
Wow.
So
I didn't realise I was in the presence of an internet celebrity.
I know, but no, I think I've also like been influenced by like a few other people. I knew in first year, and they always like the radio. Socials apparently were very good as well. There was a time where I was going to like half the URN socials without even being a member of URN, so just that, and just like kind of the community aspect of it, and that you're able to like get involved in like so many different aspects of it, and then also like create your own idea.
And I think it helps when you know people are part of the society already, because you've just joined this year, like completely, right?
I think it was in November 2021, but I probably I didn't really go into the studio that much at that time.
But all the After Darkers are who are they? They are like mystical creatures to me. I am a daytimer and a culture person, you know, so like After Dark, no idea what goes on. I'll be here all day every day. During the daytime, as soon as the sun goes down, off to bed.
Which is probably opposite for me.
That's when the After Dark has come out,
Like staying up until like 7 a.m. and then sleeping during the day, maybe.
Wow. Opposite time.
Hopefully not too much.
Yeah.
But I feel like when you go into like a studio, it's like a lot more of a community. I feel like some After Darkers actually just don't do that, and I feel like they miss out on a lot of, you know, aspect on the radio. Like one of the like biggest positive aspects is kind of just like connecting with other people who are sharing ideas. I mean, I say that as if it's like some inspirational thing. It's really just having a chat, but
yeah, it's just making friends and hanging out in the studio.
Exactly.
But you know we'll make it sound like we're all really big like creatives and like have all these ideas. How did you end up with your show then? So what was it that sort of inspired all of it?
Well, I think a lot of inspiration came a bit from Eurovision. I think I've always been interested in like kind of like international stuff, like countries. Like I've always been interested in like the World Cup as well, like all these like countries, different cultures. I think some of it comes from like traveling. I'm really enjoying that. I'm probably like at my best self when I'm traveling to like different places. And just being interested in different kind of cultures, because every culture has like its different kind of music, different genres. I feel like, you know, with countries like Sweden, you get a lot of like electro pop and house, and then if you go to like somewhere like New Jersey or something, or like Texas, you're gonna get a lot more country. But there's obviously like variety everywhere you go, and I feel like I could pick any country or any place in the world, and then I'd be able to like create a good shot out of it. So yeah, we've done like Chili before as well, which was quite like a out there one, because no one could, don't think anyone could name a Chilean like artist or band.
I don't think I could. I've got a friend that's from Chile, which is very rogue, but
so they could have been a guest on the show.
Maybe. Well, yeah, she's a friend from home. I don't think we explicitly said, I think your show is it Globetrot or Globetrotters?
Globetrot.
Just the Globetrot general.
Well, I guess the listeners are Globetrotters. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I think it was kind
That's what your fan base is called.
Exactly. My grandma, my dad, my granddad, my mum, my sister, and the two other people who accidentally turn on to the radio.
Yeah, it's always the family of the core listenership.
Yeah.
And what you do is you take a country, isn't it, each week, or a location.
Yeah.
I guess you've done like specific states in the US. Because that's quite a big ask to try and cover the whole US in one show and then explore the music from that place.
Exactly.
Would you say that's a fair way of describing it?
Yeah, because it doesn't do it justice to do like the whole United States in one show. There's just way too many songs. Like, you get 25 songs max, really. And I don't want to get to a point where I'm... I don't think I will get to a point where I run out of shows. There might be more like out there.
Yeah.
So I might be like doing like countries like Serbia or something, which I don't know about, but there I've actually listened to like stuff like Serbian folk music on Spotify, like almost like as a joke on Spotify, because they have these like new like playlist mixes, but like I actually like quite enjoy it. So
it starts off as a joke and then you go, oh, actually this is quite good.
Yeah.
Actually, I really enjoy this. Is worldly music something that you've always gravitated towards, or would you say your music taste is a lot more either like pop music, alternative music, indie music, or how would you describe your general music tastes in your own free time?
Well, there's a lot of influences. I feel like a lot of my favorite bands from my childhood have kind of influenced that a lot. I used to be really into just pop, like I'd like listen to all the like the chart music,
what's
like,
on the radio sort of thing.
Katy Perry was probably my favorite.
She's amazing.
Yeah,
love her.
Katy Perry. I liked One Direction a lot, actually.
As you should. Second person today to talk about One Direction. Me and Alexa had a little bit of a fangirl session.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that people say they're overrated, but come on. Like,
the people that say they're overrated haven't listened to their entire discography. Now, I will say the first two albums, not their best work. You know, it's very cookie-cutter pop music. Just for the sake of being written. Last three albums, there are some good songs on there, and I'll defend One Direction to the hills.
I mean, it's not the same completely without Zayn as well. I felt like he was kind of like,
were you a Zayn fan?
Well, I don't know. I was kind of like, I mean, I'm not gonna say I was a massive One Directioner, but I did like their music.
Yeah,
like guilty pleasure kind of thing. But
are you now someone who listens to Harry Styles or like on the occasion a little bit?
Not that much, because I felt my music taste has kind of changed a lot since then. That was like my main starting influences, I think. Coldplay was another big influence for me.
Did you go see Coldplay the other day?
On Sunday.
Everyone I seem to know was at Coldplay that day.
Yeah.
From just every single group of like friends I have, there was always at least one person. I just saw so many stories. How was that? I heard it was incredible.
Amazing, yeah. Just like the light shows as well, I feel like were really added to the experience, because you have like kind of like color-coded like light show for every kind of song.
And I heard they made a big thing a few years ago when they said we're not going on tour until it can be sustainable.
Yeah, so they made a big thing about
it. Was it like a different experience when you went? Did you notice these things they'd done to try and make it more sustainable, or did it feel like every other concert?
No, it didn't feel like every other concert at all. It felt like very like kind of pioneering, because you have like these dancing like pods where you get like 100 people to dance like a song, and then that would like charge up energy like during the intervals. And you'd also get like bikes by the standing area, so you could go on that. I mean, I was seated, so I didn't do that, but I would love to.
So they had the audience almost powering the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's crazy.
And they made like a whole thing about it as well, like with all the like, not like adverts, but like they, before the show started, they were like saying like this is like a sustainable show, and making sure like it's 100% like renewables or like like and using like building the show equipment and everything involved with it. So
that's really cool.
So yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe Ecofrenzy need to go to Coldplay, do a deep dive.
No, it would actually be like a really like interesting topic to talk
because we've spoken about it before they went on tour, like the whole ideas of it all, and then we heard that they were going on tour. It's like, okay, well, what have they done? And I guess like hearing about the plans are completely different to actually seeing it. Was it distracting seeing people just going off on bikes and things? Or
not at all, because it wouldn't be like during the actual
songs. I guess they want to actually pay attention to the real when it's going on.
So it's just during the intervals really, like between Churches, who are the supporting act, and Coldplay. I mean, that's when they did most of the stuff. But yeah, it was. And also, you have like these wristbands, these like glow up wristbands, which are all recyclable. I struggled like to figure out how they worked, because. But I
did. You get to keep it?
You're not supposed to, but I had it in my sock.
Nice.
So
I might have done that once or twice. If it says you have to return, I'm like, no.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's going to mean a lot more to sentimental value to like the person who has it rather than just being like recycled.
Exactly.
That's what it would have been. And there was like a funny thing as well, actually, because during Yellow, everyone's wristband went yellow, but my wristband was kind of broken, so it turned green. And I was the only one.
You were like, hey.
Yeah. I was the only one in the whole like stadium and what? Well, as far as I could see anyway. I was kind of joking around with people around me. So, yeah.
If they have any video of it, then we'll be able to spot which one you are, the one with the green wristband.
Oh, yeah, I need to, like, scour TikTok and
see what happens. Would you say Coldplay is the best gig you've been to? Or have you been to some other good ones?
Probably. I mean, I've been at the front of, like, some festivals. Like, I've been at the front of Kasabian before. At Truck Festival, and then the Kasabian actually shouted me out.
Like, that's cool.
So that was pretty cool.
That is so cool. What'd you do to get shouted out? Just
having like insane energy at the front, because I was there for hours.
Yeah, he just went, you're cool.
Yeah, Clubfoot came on, and that was like just such an iconic song for me, because it was like one of the first FIFAs I played in. That was in the soundtrack, and then that, it's just a really like hype song. And also the staging was absolutely amazing, because it had like lots of flashing lights, like, so absolutely like incredible. But yeah, the Coldplay as an actual concert, that's probably the first big concert I've been to, like as like a just like one band. I've been to like smaller gigs at Rescue Rooms and stuff before, but like not that kind of size. 60,000 people,
that's a lot of people.
Mm.
Fair enough.
It's so hard to get tickets as well.
Was it? I can imagine. Cause as well, like having not been on tour for a little while, more people want to go.
Yeah, I mean, I bought them like I bought them off StubHub, which was always a risk.
I have a soft spot in my heart for StubHub, because StubHub used to be owned by eBay. No, StubHub was owned by PayPal, which was kind of owned by eBay. I don't quite know. Anyway. Mm. My dad works for eBay, and the StubHub people were in the same office as him.
So you're paid to like say good stuff about it.
Maybe, but they haven't been affiliated for quite a few years now. But I just remember whenever I'd go to my dad's office, for whatever reason, it would be eBay StubHub. So I was always like, oh, StubHub, cute. So that's why I say a little soft spot, just because I know the name. But yeah, at least they're not Ticketmaster, because... I've heard all the bad things about Ticketmaster and all that.
And that's meant to be like the most legitimate one as well.
Yeah, which is crazy.
So, yeah.
I know, we need to bring back the paper tickets.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Also, the sentimental value, you don't really get that anymore, really.
Everything online. So sad, because you just have it. I have it on my like Apple Wallet, and then just delete the ticket afterwards, because like, it just takes up space.
Yeah.
It's just so sad.
And the photos you get are much better than the ticket. Like, it's just a QR code. It's nothing special, really.
Exactly. Oh,
so
it's so sad. I'm going to ask you one of the questions I ask everybody, just to make sure I actually remember to ask them. Starting off with, what would be your special subject if you were on a show like Mastermind? Other quiz shows are available.
Yeah.
Mastermind haven't sponsored me.
There's quite a few things I could do. So obviously Eurovision I could do. Probably.
Where is this love of Eurovision come from? It's so rare, I find, for people in the UK to love Eurovision.
I don't know, I just watched it years ago and I just got obsessed with like the like intricacies of it.
And how
just,
like, it's the silliness bonkers. Of it.
Yeah, and I guess like I had like a kind of a little bit of a hyper fixation on like the like scoring systems and stuff. Like I really like liked the voting
the scoring system.
Yeah.
It's so stupid, but I love just sitting there at the end and watching it.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so much better now when you have like all the like televoting stuff in one go, because they used to have it different a few years ago. It used to drag out a bit, but you have it's like really intense at the end,
which is really fun.
So I think that's sort of it. Why I can't. And I also just like seeing like acts be like really happy and stuff, so maybe it's something to do with that as well, just like. And I think that's why, yeah, World Cup's a bit interesting.
So would you say you've got a good memory of like Eurovision as a whole, or Eurovision more like more recent years when you've watched it yourself?
More recent years, I mean, I could probably tell you like all the winners of the last like 25 years, but
that's pretty good. Yeah. So maybe Eurovision from sort of like 2000 onwards.
Yeah, I mean, the first proper one I watched was 2014, but I have watched like the 2013-2012 contests. Like I've watched,
yeah, I watched
other ones.
I'm back. Who's been your favourite Eurovision act then?
Ever. There's quite a few. Finland this year was really good.
I loved it.
Yeah.
But that was the cha-cha-cha song, yeah. Right? Yes.
The staging, just the song and everything, like, and also like the
greenness of it, like, all. I loved it. The big shoulder pads. It was amazing. Yeah.
It's like a little bit like the Hulk.
Yeah.
It's like kind of just like Pink Panthers.
Yeah.
Or something, but no idea what they're meant to be.
That was, but, yeah, I really enjoyed that one.
And yeah, he's like, he's the guy who sings like Carrier. I think he's really, really like a heartwarming person as well. Like if you see him like on TikTok and stuff. Yeah, it's really, just a really like kind of humble person, like really chill. Obviously I haven't met them, but like seems like a good guy. But also Iceland, when they had like that really, I know, like dark electro pop song. I think it was like Hatslidmannsigla, and it was like kind of a I don't know, it was like a world domination kind of song.
Mm-hmm.
But it was all like very serious. It had like cages and like chains and everything.
Oh wow.
So I won't describe what they describe their own music as, because I'm trying to keep this podcast for PG.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, you can say it. I'll bleep it.
Save the editing for you.
Yeah. I don't remember. Was that this year or was it a previous year?
That was 2019 when it was in Israel.
Oh.
Yeah.
See, I think that's the one year I didn't watch, because that's when the Dutch guy won, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I didn't watch that year. Don't know why.
Mm.
1 year I think I haven't watched it, and I just didn't care.
Mm.
It's a shame, because I love Eurovision. I do love Eurovision.
Mm. Well, 2019 wasn't... no, I mean, it's quite good. I didn't think it was... I think it was one of the weaker ones in those years, but no, it was really good. Like, I think every like song contest has its own like kind of unique aspect to it. Nowadays, you don't get like really terrible songs in the finals.
Which is such a shame, because my first memories of Eurovision are watching it with my brother when we were probably about 8 or 9. He's a year older than me, so I was probably like 8, he was probably 9. And we were just laughing our heads off at all of it.
Yeah.
We just found it so funny, because it was just so whimsical. And I think we were so young, we didn't even appreciate when, even when like cha-cha-cha, is it called cha-cha-cha?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what I refer to it as, but I'm never sure if that's what it's called. Even though that song is a little bonkers, I can appreciate like, why it's such a good song, and it is catchy and all this other stuff. And I think being older, I see like all the effort that actually has to go into even the silliest of acts, and even the ones that are the worst, you can appreciate the effort that's gone into it. When I was 8, I had no care about that. They were all just hilarious or boring, and they were boring if they sung like ballads. I'd like check out immediately. I loved it. I just loved it so much, mainly because my brother made it really funny.
Yeah,
because he was just
like the comments and stuff.
He was just making fun of everyone, you know. And so then we watched it, I think, for a few years, until when he was about 12 or 13, he went, "Nah, this is not for me. I'm not watching this with you anymore." He's like, "I've watched years of it being rubbish, and I'm not doing that." But I just kind of fell in love with it then at that point, which I do love it. And it still has some good songs to this day. Euphoria, great song. That was Loreen, wasn't it?
Yeah, as much, I think it was much better than like the one that she won with this year.
How do you feel about her winning this year? Because I have a lot of thoughts on this.
No, I mean, it's a good song. I just, artistically and like performance wise, I feel like Finland had a better song.
But, do you think she won because she's Loreen?
No. I mean, it's nothing to do with that, really. I feel like, you know, Sweden always like kind of create songs for the juries.
So they're good at that, yeah. I mean, you were saying earlier, Swedish music is very good at being like EDM, very poppy. Mm. And there are a lot of really good Swedish producers who are the people who produce most of the pop songs kind of on our radio. So it makes sense why Sweden always do well. They have such a huge talent pool to take from. Do you think it's a conspiracy theory to get Sweden hosting 50 years, what is it, since they last won?
It's just a coincidence.
Not since they last won, they won quite recently, since ABBA.
Yeah, so they won 2015 and they won in 2012. No, it's not. I mean, obviously, some people like joke about it, but...
Yeah.
It's not... I mean, she won fair and square, really.
She did. I'm never gonna... She's clearly a talented singer and all that, but... I was just really sad that Cha 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 didn't win. Or the unicorn song. I can't remember what that one was called. I also loved that one.
I don't know if I liked that one.
It was just a bit nuts in a good way.
It's just a dance. It's a complete copy of Spain last year.
Yes, but I loved Spain's last year. What was it? Oh.
The like slow-mo one.
Slow-mo, that's what it was. Yeah. My housemate was obsessed with that song and like... So funny. Anyway, he only listened to that song for like 3 weeks off, and he'd never watched Eurovision before, and I forced him to watch it, and then he was obsessed with slow-mo. And he was like, thank you, Erin. I was like, it's my duty. And you know, I haven't had a chance to talk about Eurovision yet on the podcast like this, which is why I'm spending so much time on
so
it.
So excited.
Luxembourg are coming back. Big thing for me. I don't know if you know this. I live in Luxembourg. I think everyone knows that because it is my thing.
Your identity.
Yeah. You know, we've got a good history of Eurovision. We've won, I think, joint third.
Won most five of our times, I think.
Yeah, it's...
Or five or four.
It's five or six, so it's probably five. I think it is five, which is incredible. But I watched a video that was all the times, like, Luxembourg have won. All the winners of Eurovision, and it's like... Luxembourg won a lot in like the 50s and 60s. Does it count on a modern audience? No, but it counts because it happened when there were like 10 countries competing.
Yeah, well, it's like the England World Cup in 1966. Like, it's not really that deserved, but
yeah, it's like,
it still counts.
It still counts. Still get the one star. It's very important. You were part of. When we did a podcast on football shirts.
Yeah.
I think that was the last time you and I were in this room together. Big football fan?
Yeah, I mean, but I guess I don't watch games that much anymore. I guess I didn't watch the FA Cup final, so I guess that doesn't mean I'm, like, a super fan. But now I'm, like, interested. I always, like, go on BBC Sport and stuff to procrastinate.
Check what's going on. Procrastinate. It's a good way... I do the same, but I use the news. BBC Sport don't care about... BBC News is my procrastination. This is important stuff. I'm like, it's relevant to my... It's not relevant to my degree, but I pretend it is.
Yeah. I mean, and also, like, stuff to talk about on the news, the Pulse.
Yeah.
I'm interested in it a lot. Meaning just like the different teams, like different cultures and stuff. It's not as different as like other like international contests and stuff like that, but like you obviously have like different, it's funny how like you have like two clubs in the same city can just be so like vastly different, even though like they should theoretically be like almost exactly the same because it's the same people, same city. So I think that's why I was interested in it a lot.
It's a really interesting way of looking at it. I've never really thought about it. Maybe I'm going to become like a football, what's the word, Don't know what the word is.
Fanatic.
Maybe. Cool. Football fan. Oh, that might be a bit of a stretch. Maybe I'll start watching football games and be like, did you know that in 1936 these teams were actually the same team and then they became two different teams?
No, I do that all the time. It's just like the little
bits of knowledge. Yeah,
annoys people, but.
I quite like that stuff. It's always interesting. I'm trying to think, your degree, in my mind it's some sort of engineering. Am I right or wrong?
Close.
Something science-y though.
Chemistry.
All the same thing to me. The way you're talking though, it seems like you would do very well with something like a history degree. Did you do?
Yeah, I should have probably done something like that.
Did you do that in school, or were your A levels maths, science?
Funny thing is, I switched my A levels about 20 times before the start of the year. I initially started with history, English lit, and psychology, and by the time the year started, I was on maths, biology, physics, and psychology, and by the end of that term, I was on maths, chemistry, and biology.
Wow.
So I switched them a lot.
Really went there over there? Is that just because you didn't know what you wanted to do, or was it?
Definitely. Yeah. I feel like there's a lot of pressure put on young people at that age to try and figure out what they actually want to do when
you have
so little
experience. Yeah, it's like you're trying to figure out your whole life. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have no idea. I just picked the subjects which I was told that, you know, I could get a good career in it, but like I'm well sure, like if I did like English, psychology, history, like I'd probably do okay as well.
Yeah.
I think I'm more natural at like stuff like maths. Okay. So I feel like maths was an easy choice for like doing an A level.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be that arrogant and say like guaranteed A, but in some ways I'm just quite good at it, so.
Yeah. It comes naturally. And yeah. I guess if you might as well do the stuff that comes naturally to you if you're not too like picky either which way.
Yeah.
Or like what you're doing, might as well do like make your life easier.
Exactly.
And do what you're good at.
And you find stuff interesting in those subjects even if you like they're not your passion.
Yeah.
I know I loved biology A level, but I still didn't pick it over chemistry because I thought I had bad things about biology at degree level, so I was like maybe not. I nearly did biochemistry. But I switched a few weeks before because I was like, I think like chemistry.
Are you happy with your choice? You're near the end of second year now. I feel like that's when most people start to have their "no, I wish I'd done something different" thought.
I mean, it's easy to say the grass be greener on the other side. I feel like,
yeah,
I would obviously have an easier time with a different degree. Probably outside of, well, I don't want to cause controversy. But probably like if I did like something like psychology or something, I might have had like a bit of an easier time because I've been more interested in it.
Yeah, I think that is one thing that's always important, is it's not just the content. If you don't care about the content, you're not going to do well because you're not going to want to put any work into it.
Exactly.
And even if you do care about the content, you still might just go, nah.
Mm. Well, especially with chemistry when it's like so many like foundations of understanding.
Mm.
Organic chemistry is pretty much almost impossible to me.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping I just pass that module this year. But yeah, it's really intricate. Whereas, you know, if you do subjects like psychology or English, you can be like more, you know.
I feel like you don't quite have to build upon the same foundation. It's more you can kind of just pick your niche and stick with it. Instead of, I feel like chemistry and a lot of the other sciences, you have to do a bit of everything to understand the next level up. Mm. I stopped chemistry after GCSEs because I never got it. I never understood it. So whenever someone tells me they could do chemistry, that was the one thing in school where I was like, absolutely not. Never. That was the one subject that was always bottom of my list. I would have gone through every other subject before I got to chemistry. So I'm always a little bit in awe and a little bit like, how on earth could you do that to yourself? But I get some people like it.
Funny thing is, I absolutely hated it at GCSE.
Really?
I just thought A-level would be a lot different, and it was. So
okay.
I feel like, I don't know, it was just the start of the year, I wasn't doing chemistry, and I felt like I was doing maths, biology, and physics, and I was like, well, I probably should be doing chemistry. Because it's like the foundation for most of them, most of the sciences. But yeah,
it's funny how it all works out, isn't it?
Yeah,
you started off something completely different and end up chemistry. Do you ever, I know you said grass is always green on the other side, so, you know, you kind of got to be happy with what you have. But if you were to switch to another degree, not right now, but like if you were to go back in time sort of and tell yourself, no, you're doing this degree instead, what would you have picked?
I still don't know if I would switch necessarily. I think a lot would depend on my results this year, because this is the first year where they don't have like online exams. So if I like absolutely flunked them, then
yeah, oh, you've had in person ones,
yeah,
even David Ross.
I've been in the Trent building.
Oh, okay,
yeah. So yeah, I don't know how I'm gonna do. Quite worried actually, but no, we'll see. And there's always retakes, so yeah. But an answer to the actual question, I won't give a politician answer. Yeah, probably like, I don't know if I'd stick with STEM. I don't know if I'd change.
Do something different.
I mean, I've always like thought like subjects like architecture could be really cool, but then that's really like,
they're quite tricky. But they are cool.
Yeah. So maybe like kind of like, I don't know, maybe one of those really abstract engineering ones could possibly, because the maths wouldn't be too much of a problem. I don't think, I mean, they're meant to be really hard, but I feel like I could grasp it.
Yeah, but if maths is something that comes fairly easily and you don't have to work too hard to get it, then probably is fine.
Yeah. So yeah, something like that. Maybe psychology. Probably psychology, actually.
Yeah. Psychology seems to be like the one that you stuck at.
Well, I'm really interested in like kind of like how people think, why people do certain things. Always like overanalyze things, so that's probably why. And also like personality tests on like BuzzFeed and stuff.
Yes, go back to the BuzzFeed tests always. What cheese are you? All those things. Important stuff. Important stuff. I will say I did a behavioral economics module and it was so interesting. I really enjoyed it. I like the fact it wasn't psychology. There was no science to it. It was, we did an experiment with these people. This is our results. And this is what we can learn from behavior because of our results. Nothing to do with brains, nothing to do, you know, any sort of science part of it. Barely any maths, actually. Well, there was a bit of maths, but, you know, more just like, this is the model we used and all that. But really interesting stuff. I loved it. I love that module. Just a shame that I did it right at the end of my degree, after I hated everything else I did.
So you would have wanted to like do it more.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't do it last year because I hated the lecturer, but
that's
a different matter.
Yeah, lecturers can really determine. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there's some not very, some, let's just say very interesting in the wrong ways, lecturers in chemistry, but a lot of them are good.
I think every degree's got that. They've got the ones who are really, really good and really engaging, and some that like are probably fine people, but just so boring, and just, you just don't feel like they care. So why are you going to care? And that's exactly. a whole other thing.
Enthusiasm.
Exactly. What would you say is your most iconic item of clothing?
I'm not wearing them today, but grey Converse shoes. Any Converse shoes, really. I'm kind of
always. Have you always been a Converse person?
Yeah, probably like since like year 7.
Yeah,
I've had like all the kind of different colours. I've had red, green, navy, grey, black. Probably one other one as well. But yeah, I've been close to getting ones like white, and some other colours, but.
No,
I quite like grey Converse. I feel like they're actually quite rare now. I think.
I don't think I've ever seen someone with grey Converse. So
yeah, I think it's because they're just quite popular and they don't make them en masse anymore. Really. I'm not sure.
And also, they're not going to show the dirt as much. That's the only thing with the white Converse is they yellow so quickly or get that like. As soon as you go in the rain, they're ruined. But.
They become like a festival beater shoe, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Interesting. I love a good pair of Converse. I've got a friend that she always has yellow shoes. She always wears a yellow Converse or a yellow Crocs. So I always feel like they are an iconic staple for some people.
Yeah, it's definitely like turns in like a kind of fashion sense. I don't know, black Converse kind of like fits with everything. That's always gonna be iconic.
The classic, yeah.
I guess I kind of like grey. It's kind of like a subtle color. It's kind of like a neutral color as well. I mean, black is one as well, but it's
you're going something a bit
match
maybe
as well, yeah, complements your outfit. You can just, I feel like using neutral tones is like the best way to create an outfit. I never really like to go too flashy. Just kind of like blend in, but for the right reasons.
Yes.
So
blend in a good way. Yeah. I like that. Well, I had a pair of grey Vans when I was like 14 or 15. Still think about them sometimes. I kind of want to get another pair. Maybe I tried Converse, but I have really wide feet, and I just felt, I think it was the style I had. To be fair, I didn't have, do you have high tops?
Yeah,
I had the not high tops ones.
They're not as good.
No.
They don't look as good. And also, like, yeah, I think Vans are better if you want to have that kind of shoe.
Yeah, so, and I, as I say, I have really wide feet, so it really helped. The Vans, they're wide. So I think I had men's shoes, but they're all the same, really.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Vans and Converse, they don't really distinguish between men's and women's sizes much.
Not really. I mean, I think they're different sizes in the UK and US as well, so sometimes it can be a bit confusing because you're like, I've got the wrong shot, like size or something. But
I hate the fact that US sizes are always just like slightly different.
Yeah.
And you never quite know. You're like, I want a 7. Now a 7 UK is like a 9 US. But then a 7 US is like a 5 UK. I don't know. I don't even know if that's correct.
Yeah. Because you have to look at like the measurements charts as well.
Yes.
And everything, just a double check.
And then I just go, this is too much effort. I'm just not going to buy any shoes.
Obviously, same for me.
Just, yeah, find what I like and stick with it. That's a good way to go. What was I going to ask about? I had a really good idea. Oh, yes. I kind of wanted to go back and talk a little bit about travelling, because you mentioned you quite enjoy travelling, and it's quite in line with what you do with your show.
Yeah.
You are almost metaphorically travelling, I guess, to all the different places. Where have you been that you've loved, and where's next?
Where's next? Well, where have I been? Yeah, so I've been to a few places across Europe. Reykjavik, I always loved. That's nice. And with like the volcanoes and stuff, and just like, I like the little like color buildings as well. You kind of get in
Scandinavia. Did you go to the volcano with the really long name?
No, I didn't do that. I didn't have enough time with it.
I can never remember what it is, but it's
like Yoko or something. I don't know.
That one. Yep.
Yeah.
The one with the really long name, though, is how I remember it. Yeah.
Because I guess you must have studied that in like economics or something, because there was like a thing in like 2010 or something where all the like the smoke from the volcanoes. Like,
oh my goodness! Yes, Europe. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
That was a big thing, wasn't it? And like no one flew for like 2 weeks. That was crazy.
Yeah, it like reached Turkey and stuff, and that was insane.
That was ridiculous. I remember that being one like those first news stories that really I just went, huh? What happened?
Yeah, that was really baffling. But
bizarre. Yeah. I have to ask the geography kids what happened there.
Yeah.
Ask Ali. I don't know anyone else that does geography. I just know Ali, so I'm always like, Ali.
There's a few people jotted about. I mean, yeah, he's kind of the
go-to geographer.
Yeah, the mascot. But Iceland's really good. I've really liked Vienna. I've been to quite a few cities in Austria, actually. I mean, 2 separate trips. Yeah, so Vienna, Innsbruck, Salzburg, and then a few other smaller ones. Yeah. I think there was like this one time we were coming back from Innsbruck and then stopped off at, I'm trying to remember what the city was called. I don't remember. But it was a really cool city because it was like no one was there. We had to stop off there for like, we had like a spare hour and a half until the next train.
Had a nice
at like
walk.
11 PM.
Oh,
so I just walked like through like city lights and stuff, and it was really
that
cool.
Sounds really peaceful and nice. When you go traveling, do you try and, you know, have the food of the region, or do you stick with the like McDonald's and the stuff you know well?
Depends on if I'm with family, then always eat out. If I'm with like friends, probably like get like an Airbnb.
Yeah,
and go to Lidl. That's what I did for my last one. Yeah, I just quite like to keep it affordable. Obviously, I always like have like at least one like kind of traditional meal. But yeah, food is obviously a big part, but I think other countries are better than others, like their cuisine. I feel like if you're on somewhere like Rome, your trip would be wasted if you didn't eat.
Why would you go without pizza?
Exactly. You have, like, yeah, every pizza you get in any like Rome restaurant will be better than 99% of the best restaurants.
Although,
like,
weirdly, I have been to Rome, and the pizza was good. I'm not gonna say it wasn't, but I've had good pizza in other places. Mm. Pizza's always good. The best food I had in Rome was, I had salmon. It was cooked. It was just like a oven baked salmon with like pistachios, which was lovely. Mm. And I still think about it to this day. And I went to Rome about, I was 14, 6 years ago. How old am I? I'm 21, 7 years ago. I went a long time ago. And I still remember this salmon so vividly. And it was the best, like one of the best things I've ever eaten. And it was crazy to come back and be like, huh, it wasn't actually the pizza. Because I had eaten so much pizza when we were there. I was so sick of pizza that I had to get something else. So I was like, okay, I'm going to have some salmon this like one day.
Oh, so it wasn't actually like salmon on a pizza. It was just
salmon. No, it was just salmon. Because I was trying to get away from the pizza.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I'm in Rome, I've got to have pizza. Mm. And then I was like, I think we were there for about 4 days, and I think I'd had pizza every single day. Just because I felt like I had to, and then I went, this is too much.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it was, and also like when you're younger as well, your like food taste is more kind of like basic as well.
Yeah, and I was like, just give me the pizza and the ice cream. Oh, the ice cream. The ice cream. So good.
I think there's some places in Venice, I think, where they just don't serve pizza because they're like, it's too touristy and stuff, so they just serve like,
I respect like that.
Or pasta, I don't think.
Yeah,
as well. They just
like, do something else.
Iconic Italian cuisine without like the cliche ones.
Yeah, without the carbs.
Mm.
Which is a shame because I love pizza and pasta, but
yeah, but sometimes it's gotta be a bit different.
Yeah, stand out from the crowd.
Yeah,
do your own thing. So where's next on your list to go?
I'm looking to go to Romania, Bucharest specifically, but like Transylvania as well, because I've looked at the like Dracula's castle kind of thing.
My sister went there recently with her boyfriend, and they loved it. They loved it so much. They stayed in Bucharest and then did like a day trip to Transylvania and the other castles kind of around there, and did like a big tour of them in one day.
Mm.
Of the couple of days they were there. Sounds like it's a really good one to do, so.
Yeah. And they have, like, the biggest thermal spa in Europe as well. And they have, like, a water park and, like, cinema saunas.
Ooh.
And, like, some, like, just some really cool features. And, yeah, it looks good. It looks good. But I do need to book some holidays.
If money was no object, where would be the one place in the world you'd like to go see?
Oh, definitely, like, New Zealand or something.
Yeah.
Or like anywhere kind of in that area. Maybe like Argentina.
Mm.
Try and like go to like around Patagonia, because I saw on like Top Gear. It looked really interesting, although I'll try and avoid putting like a controversial number plate on the car.
Oh, yeah. That was that episode, wasn't it?
Yeah. And also like, yeah. Like about football again, like Argentinian football matches and stuff are meant to be like really insane. So that would be a great experience, but I don't have that sort of money at the moment.
No, I mean, you're a student. No one's expecting us to have that.
Yeah, just the very cheap ones at the moment.
I feel like Europe's an easier one, and you can tend to be able to get cheap flights to a lot of these European cities, which makes them good. I feel like I need to go traveling to some of them, but I haven't done it yet. Maybe I will. My sister's really good at finding those sorts of places, like when she went to Bucharest. All right, I'm going to ask you the last couple questions and then we will finish for today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask them at the same time, but answer one time, obviously. Don't ask, like, you know, it goes without saying. You can't answer both questions at the same time. But they are, what has been your proudest achievement of your life so far? I know, big question, but it doesn't have to be your proudest, but just something you're really proud of that comes to mind right now. And the other one is, what's something you're looking forward to?
First one is probably quite easy. I think that there was a time during lockdown I was participating in this like kind of like this like Minecraft tournament with a YouTuber, like this big YouTuber had like millions of subscribers during lockdown. Yeah. It's called Skeppy. And he was doing these like 100 like people, or he called them like 100 kids because you get like more views and stuff, but like play like these kind of like mini game stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the winner gets like $1,000.
Yeah.
And I always like saw them like with millions of views, and like they were really hard to like win and stuff. So I tried like a couple of them, and then my second time, like I managed to like, well, it was like kind of like what was on Minecraft. It was like a Last of Fall in the Void thing. So it was like a, the best way to describe it if you haven't played it.
It's like the ground disappears from beneath you, and you have to like not disappear into the grass. It's kind of like the floor is lava almost.
Yeah, like if you fall, you die.
Yeah.
But you have like these like dirt blocks that you can place, so like you can kind of like move around, but then you can also like fight each other players. So
and try and push people off. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like the people who are like running the game are trying to like do stuff to pass off. But yeah, it was just I was like kind of teamed up with someone, and then I actually like died halfway through.
Yeah.
But they did this like revival thing, so it was like you'd have to say a number like any number 1 to 100, and I happened to be the person who like chose like a lucky number and stuff. So I got back in. Arrived.
Oh, nice.
And then there's only like 6 players left, and then like just saw them all like causing chaos with each other, and then I saw like the last 2 people.
Yeah.
And then obviously it just came out of fight, so like when that happens, like you've got. They call it in Minecraft like cleaning up.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't know. I mean, it's probably like a popular thing in other games, but like when like another player's like on low health, like you can kind of like take the opportunity and like get them as well. And so I did that. The guy was actually like just like trying to run away, go away, and then managed to like get him, kill him.
In Minecraft.
What in Minecraft? In Minecraft, obviously. And then it was surreal because I just won, and then.
Oh, you won.
Yeah. So I won $1,000. I got on like a call with the YouTuber as well.
That's so cool.
As well. It was Skeppy on YouTube. Yeah. So that was real. I mean, I looked at the comments. They were like, I mean, I was 16 at the time, but they were like, I think I was 15 or 16. No, 2020.
I mean, 2020, I was 18. I can tell you that, but yeah. I don't know how old that makes you.
I was 16. Yeah. I was definitely 16. And yeah, it was so cool and such a surreal kind of experience. I remember like it being at like 3 or 4 a.m. as well. So
because it's probably on American time, wasn't it? Yeah.
I stayed up for hours. My sleep schedule was kind of Australian in lockdown. but that was probably my proudest moment. Obviously I could go the cliche ones like my A-levels and stuff.
Yeah, but that's a really like interesting one. No one else has said that, so
exactly. So that's when I think of my proudest achievements.
Yeah,
that's quite a cool one.
And you got to meet did you get to talk to Skeppy? So you got to talk to someone who you obviously know of and is doing pretty well on YouTube and all that, so it's like you meet a celebrity pretty much and you win some money.
Exactly.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah, I mean, I had one other like Minecraft tournaments as well. Well, not just Minecraft, but like other like gaming tournaments. Yeah. I was really, really into gaming throughout my like teenage years.
Yeah.
Less so now, but I still play.
I feel like it's harder to do at uni because it's just like there's so much more things to do.
Exactly.
You have to be an actual adult and take care of yourself. It's awful.
And like secondary school, like when you're like 14 or something, you're too young to go to like a play area, but you're you're too old to go to like a play area or something, but you're too young to go to like the pub.
Yeah.
So
that middle ground, got to find something else to do.
Exactly.
Fair enough. And what is it you're looking forward to? I mean, I know we spoke about travelling, but is there anything else that you're excited about?
Yeah, travelling and kind of just finding my independence more and more. Trying to like coming into my own. Really just like exploring places, I guess. Looking for where I can probably like take my career, maybe. Just see what I can do with like the radio and stuff, to see if I can get involved. Obviously I missed out on the after dark position I ran for, which was a big disappointment for me, but I'm sure Will, who's doing it, will do a great job. But I just need to keep trying with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to see what I can do. Specifically, probably just more traveling, to be honest. More just traveling. Exploring more places.
It's exciting.
Try and make some money during the summer.
Make some money to do travel more. Yeah.
Because, that's what I enjoy the most.
That's really cool. Fair enough. Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast today.
No worries at all.
This has been very nice.
And if you've enjoyed listening to my voice, make sure you check out our Instagram, Off Air On Your End, to stay up to date with all the episodes coming out soon.